Okay, this is promoting with collaborations with health departments and communities. I still have nothing to disclose. And basically what I'm going to discuss here is an overview of how ASTO, the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, and NACHO, the National Association of County and City Health Officials, one of our partners, started this project. Briefly touch on the WIC collaboration survey and spend the bulk of the time on the focus groups and the findings. For those of you who don't know, WIC is a special supplemental program, a nutrition program for women, infants, and children, and it's a federal program that provides health and nutrition to low-income, pregnant, breastfeeding, and postpartum women, their infants, and children up to age 5. The program provides vouchers for nutritionally dense foods and nutrition education and breastfeeding support. And what started this project was in 2000, the USDA's Food Nutrition Service and HRSA's Bureau of Primary Health Care jointly sponsored the development and distribution of the Coordination Strategies Handbook, which you can see on the, I believe that's the left-hand side. And it's the guide for WIC and primary care professionals. It was originally designed to help improve coordination between WIC and Indian Health Service sites, and it covers the benefits of and barriers to coordination, types of coordination strategies, and examples of model coordination efforts and practical tools to do those efforts. And despite the quality and the utility of the book, it's a great book and I highly recommend it. Some preliminary work that both ASTO and NACHO did was we found that no one was really using it. And that could be because we did that work in 2009 and this was developed in 2000, but no one was using it and they were still very useful strategies. And so as an effort to increase the use of this handbook, both of us decided that we wanted to provide examples of and tools to enhance collaboration with an emphasis on the collaboration strategies that were laid out within the book and how the WICs can use those with state and local health agencies and their local communities. And what we wanted to do was highlight the work that was in the book, but also promote peer-to-peer collaboration and support. ASTO and NACHO developed this survey, which was administered by the National WIC Association, to find out how WIC programs collaborate with their internal and external organizations to effectively deliver their programming. The survey was intended, obviously, to help WIC collaboration strategies in the Coordination Strategies Handbook. The survey was sent to 1,400 state, local, and community WIC providers and was open for a total of 6 weeks between April and June of 2010. The chart on the chart on the left hand side for you guys, or is that your right hand side? That's your right hand side. Sorry. Chart on your right hand side displays the three main aims that we were looking at, which were clinical coordination, community-based initiatives, and policy and administrative coordination, and each of the measures we were looking at underneath of them. ASTO pre-tested the survey with three state WIC agencies, and we also took input from NACHO and the National WIC Association. Not including responses from multiple people within the same organization, we received responses from WICs located in 21 state agencies, 45 local health departments, 19 private nonprofit WICs, 4 Indian tribal organizations, 5 community action programs, and 11 other WIC agencies, which include community health centers and federally qualified health centers. Unfortunately, we did not receive any responses from WICs in state tribal agencies. While the number of responses to 12 was did not allow us to have statistical significance, it did give us a snapshot of what was going on in the states, and it allowed us to more strategically select states for our focus groups. From the survey responses, we selected states from the two regions that are colored on the screen, Region 5 and Region 8. And from what we did was we found out from them how they work with others within their WIC program, what tools they're using to sustain these collaborations, and what experiences they wanted to share with other state and local areas about how to collaborate with WIC. Similar to the 2010 survey, we touched on the three major themes that I mentioned previously. And there were 66 respondents to this particular slide. I did not include numbers because it's not statistically significant, but it's to give you an idea of where things kind of fell. The majority of WIC programs do not have coordinated appointment scheduling with health centers or other areas. And what this means is approximately one fifth of state agencies and local health agencies responded that they do have this process. Only about a third of private nonprofit agencies also responded that they have this coordinated scheduling appointment work. Of those that did answer positively, they reported a range of services that they could do at the same time, and that included from just one service, such as immunization, to an ability to schedule primary care appointments, breastfeeding consultations, and other services at the exact same time. And many of the WIC partner programs were also able to participate in case management activities. And this included departments determining eligibility for WIC program clients and completing WIC certification forms, to both organizations being able to jointly enroll clients in both WIC and, say, Medicaid at the same time, and coordinated case management between their health centers and WIC. And so with the clinical coordination section of the focus group, one theme that emerged was establishing a nutrition section within the health department. If the health department has a dedicated area for nutrition, that WIC and the health department then could easily move and work very closely together. For example, the health department with dedicated areas for a nutrition or dietitian area was able to better follow up for high-risk WIC clients for counseling and education to those pregnant women. And as you can see from the quote, it helped with getting WIC patients in more quickly. Another theme that emerged was broadening the WIC referral network, and WIC clients are more likely to be eligible for other services that are often provided within the community and other organizations and agencies within health departments and other areas. And potential venues for clinical coordination between WIC and the health departments can include everyone from tribal health agencies to community providers who see WIC Medicaid patients to non-traditional partners. And we're hoping that co-location may be possible in some of these services, and it was demonstrated in the survey and in the focus group that, yes, sometimes that is the case. We also found that getting a memorandum of understanding or an MOU can improve the availability and accessibility of programs and services that WIC clients need to reduce any sort of administration concerns or confidentiality issues between, say, a health department and the WIC. With an MOU in place, the WIC staff can identify eligible clients and develop better care plans, and the health department was found easily able to provide administrative services or even just house the program. WIC and Medicaid programs were also well positioned to collaborate in ways that best supported their shared clientele. One WIC program that worked closely with their maternal and child health program was considered a gateway for the community, and they were able to use the access, the health department's services and programs. Since the health department's MCH program is often linked with the human services department, community providers who present or who serve Medicaid clients, WIC was also able to help access a lot of these services for their clients and therefore able to get them into services a lot quicker. If an agency is interested in outsourcing a service to partnering agencies, this sounds obvious, but it's important to assess the various costs and potential savings of a new contract. I say this is obvious, but plans don't always go the way you think they're going to go. For one example, a WIC program chose not to outsource something that hemoglobin testing services because it would have saved them a tremendous amount of time, but they found out it would have also cost them a tremendous amount of money, even though they had freed up all this time in their schedules to not do that particular thing. In another example, WIC chose not to conduct outpatient tests because they didn't have the just physical time to fill out the paperwork to build the clinic that was doing their body mass index and hemoglobin services for them. And so it was a really interesting thing that they thought they were streamlining all these great things, but in turn it ended up either being too costly or too much of a burden. This part of the survey, which was in the community-based initiatives part, found that WICs located in state agencies, local health departments, private nonprofits, and others were about the same when it came to jointly sponsored outreach, and you can see that in the blue bars. And interestingly, the Community Action Program WICs reported jointly sponsoring outreach the least, but as I said before, that might be due to the lower response rate for that particular area, Community Action Programs. Although it's no surprise here that WICs located in Community Action Programs, since it's the red bars, partnered the most with community volunteers, leaders, or coalitions, and here for here it's about 60%. State WIC agencies, local WIC agencies, and health departments and other WICs partnered about the same amount, as you can see, with private nonprofit WICs and Indian tribal WICs departments partnering the least. Within the community-based initiative section of the focus group, one theme that emerged was networking with the community to build sustainable relationships. The educational outreach events and open houses that are often jointly sponsored by WIC and the health department can begin or even maintain many of the relationships that are fostered within the community by creating a lot of those personal connections with individual community members and agencies. And for example, one of the WIC program described a very strong partnership with community agency because many of their employees were former WIC clients, and so they understood and respected the program already. And another WIC program that we talked to, they had success in connecting community service providers who had common goals. So they just went up to them and they found out that they shared a common goal of, say, breastfeeding support. And so they worked very well with, like, Little HA League and such. And so it was a very strong collaboration. The focus group also recommended partnering with community service agencies. WIC programs and health departments can connect their clients in need of food, clothing, and other social services with various community initiatives, which could include Salvation Army, Goodwill, community churches, pregnancy clinics, and food pantries. And these referrals and partnerships keep WIC and the health department program more visible and engaged with the community and reinforce to the staff which ways and how they can help their clients beyond what their programs do on a daily basis. Communication here was seen as very important because you have to obviously respect each of the agency's own goals and missions. In addition to nutrition programs, WIC and the health department may find it useful to recruit students from local physical therapy, nursing, or other schools nearby. One WIC program talked about they worked with the university to train nursing students to work with children with special healthcare needs, and then once those students got into their second year, they trained the next year, the next first year group of students, and the program continued over time in a very inexpensive way. WIC and the health department staff may also find it helpful to engage in professional development opportunities that focus on building and sustaining relationships. For example, one WIC program worked closely with the state's Nutritional and Physical Fitness Coalition to advance their similar missions for eating healthy and improving physical fitness. Finally, we're going to move on to policy and administrative coordination section of the survey. Of the WIC respondents who reported some type of agreement with other agencies, and total here was 121, the majority reported a memorandum of agreement followed by a memorandum of understanding. And it's important to note here that the verbal communication section, although it was the third largest at 26%, was very interesting because verbal contracts are generally not binding. And so we found that very interesting. 100% of the state WIC agencies that did report some type of agreement with an outside agency or organization, there were 100% there, and that's really encouraging to see. It's important to note that 33% of the Indian tribal WICs, 20% of the private nonprofit WICs, and 15% of the local health department WICs had no written agreements at all, and that's very important for moving forward with especially verbal contracts. I'm sorry? MOA is a memorandum of agreement, and it's along the same lines, but there was an open space for where you could put in your own thing, and several people did put in that, and so we wanted to include it, but it's very similar to memorandum of understanding or cooperation. Good question, thank you. Within the policy and administrative coordination section of the focus group, one theme that emerged was routinely reviewing and evaluating MOUs and policies. And reviewing these policies on an agreed upon schedule keeps them current and relevant to all the programs that were involved. We heard that developing tools to aid in the following of these policies are extremely helpful to WIC and the evaluation process itself. And one WIC director used a checklist version of her work plan to ensure that policies that were addressed in the MOU were actually being done. And then they went on and used that checklist as an evaluation tool to evaluate the fidelity of their implementation plan. And as you can say, we heard very strong opinions about how wonderful MOUs are from the folks. We heard a lot about pooling funds from several programs and how that can benefit all partners. One WIC director received funding from a health department's birth defects program to conduct targeted training of WIC staff. Consequently, the first cohort of this trained staff were able to become peer members to other staff, and so it became a train-the-trainer program, so they were able to use a very small pot of money to make a program go much further, and they were able to train a huge number of staff just moving forward with those couple of initial people. The WIC programs also have contacts within the health department's maternal and child health programs, are also able to clarify staff roles and reduce duplication. By refining responsibilities between the health department and the MCH department, you can give clients more in-depth service and support. And one WIC director worked closely with the health department with home visiting nutritionists to fulfill WIC responsibilities during the home visit. And this activity helped save time for WIC and the client, but it preserved funding for WIC by helping the home visiting health and the health department. And so they were able to continue giving them money because it was mutually beneficial. Another theme that was found was the ability to encourage policy change with an MOU. And policies can be changed more quickly and easily through developing and instituting an MOU between programs. And one example involves the WIC program that crafted an MOU with the Community Health Center to enable pregnant women and children enrolled in WIC to be considered high priority for dental services. And as you can see from the quote, they had a significant need within their town, and so it was very important that this MOU was crafted in order to get these women into services as a higher priority. And the final theme was maintaining institutional and program partnerships through MOUs. And when partnerships are dependent on motivated and committed individuals, staff turnover can be a huge threat to any part of the collaboration. However, with an MOU in place, partnership is understood to be an organizational commitment and not just, you know, I have a friend in the MCH department, let's work together. One WIC program reported that after attempting to work for years with a maternity hospital and breastfeeding support, it was forced to start over when the CEO was replaced. However, once they were able to get an MOU in place, they were able to work with this hospital for a solid decade, even though there was a lot of turnover and they had many more CEOs in the future. And so it turned out to be a very, very good investment of their time to develop that, and as you can see from the quote. And so in sum, co-location and coordination of services often saves WIC and health departments and community organizations time and sometimes money, but you have to be realistic of what the cost of collaboration. It may actually cost more money than you think, and outsourcing may not save you any time and money, so that's something to consider. Partnering with community organizations usually does elevate the visibility and reach of your organization or program. And evaluating policies on a regular schedule keeps them current and relevant to everybody involved. And developing MOUs that can streamline data and allow partners to work better together will continue to move things forward even if there is turnover within staff. I'd like to acknowledge three of the people that were instrumental in doing this work. And that's Laura Siebold at NACHO, Pranima Nayak, who is our intern at the time, is now at the National Quality Forum, and obviously Douglas Greenaway, President and CEO of the National WIC Association. I'd also like to thank the Maternal and Child Health Bureau's AIM Cooperative Agreement for funding our work in this. If you're interested in learning more about this project, you can find this on our website at www.asto.org or through the link below, which is much closer to the actual link of where you can find it. We also have other WIC information there as well. I'm happy to answer any questions, if there are any. Please.
When you talk about the administration part and the videos and writing different organizations, I come from the community and it is not easy to get them to talk to each other sometimes. And you know that the benefit is from the community, but at the same time, the question is, can it be, is it coming that they will force WIC directors and public health directors to work with the community, that they're working with partners to be able to fund those programs as long as you're working together with a memorandum of understanding or agreement? Because sometimes, if you don't force them, they won't.
Right. I have to summarize that just so they can get it in the recording. But essentially, how do you get people to work together in the community if they're having trouble talking to each other? And how to sign those actual memorandums of agreement? And what we heard from the focus groups in both of those regions, which I know you came in a little late, but we focused on regions 5 and 8, which are the Midwest areas and the Great Plains areas, I would say. And so a lot of those areas were more rural than a lot of the other states that we could have selected. And in those areas, we heard a little bit mixed. One of the regions was doing a great job in working with community organizations, but they also had people who worked in those organizations that had benefited from WIC. And so they already knew a lot about how great WIC was and that working with WIC would benefit both of their people that would come in. The other states that we talked to that didn't have that had more of a challenge in working together both with WIC or with the community. And so one state talked significantly about how it just took showing up to church events to just sit and be there for a while and literally breaking bread and not talking about business up front and just showing up and showing they were committed to then get in and get there and in order to just start talking about, hey, will you put some of our materials out on your table? And that took a couple years. And so I absolutely hear you. It is very difficult to get people to work together when, you know, budgets are tight and you're not sure kind of what everybody's angle is, but it is able to work, but it can sometimes take a tremendous amount of time.
Other questions for Ellen? I had a question. It seems to me that one of the potential opportunities for stimulating more and better collaboration in this area might relate to some of the new provisions of the that are coming out of the Affordable Care Act, specifically around Medicaid. There's now funding through CMS to help states to create these Medicaid health homes, mm-hmm. and the kind of the concept of patient-centered medical homes and building those specifically around Medicaid populations. And it strikes me that that WIC providers would be potentially very important contributors to kind of creating that kind of a patient-centered health home, especially for this population. And maybe even some of the accountable care organization stuff, that these opportunities for funding to help build new models of care delivery for populations in Medicaid. So I wonder, did you have a sense, and it may be that some of that stuff was kind of too new to pick up in your survey, do you have a sense as to whether WIC providers and WIC agencies, both governmental and community-based providers, are being included in some of the planning that's going on around creating Medicaid health homes and patient-centered medical homes?
That's a great question. So just to repeat it so it'll get picked up in recording, how is WIC and other partners being incorporated in the Affordable Care Act, especially medical homes? And when we did our interviews for this, it was in January of 2011, and so it was a little new to be able to see how some of this was working, but we started to get a little bit of a taste of how things were working. One talked about how they're excited to see that they're, since they're seen as a gateway to other programs and services, oftentimes WIC is the first program women go to when they're pregnant, when they find out they're pregnant. And so they are a huge gateway, and it's often seemed like the first, sometimes the first care that women receive. And so I would hope that WIC is being better included within the discussions within the Affordable Care Act and other provisions, especially within some of the breastfeeding portions of the Affordable Care Act, and it's breastfeeding in the workplace is a huge portion of that. And I would hope that WIC would be consulted on how to make that easier and better for especially smaller businesses. But I don't think they're being incorporated as much as they should be, but maybe it's too soon. I think there's a tremendous opportunity, and it would be a loss if we didn't bring WIC into those discussions.